morning coming from Matthew, the 21st chapter, 11th verse through the 11th verse. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with his coat by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal, a donkey." Disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them upon the road. And the crowd went ahead of him, and those that followed them shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered in Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the one, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning.
Yes.
First and foremost, say thank you.
Hello.
Thank you for allowing us to assemble here this morning to study your word, Lord God.
My Lord.
To worship you, give you praise, honor, and glory. And I just thank you for everyone that's assembled here this morning, Father. Ask that you would open up their hearts and their minds, that they might receive your word and understand your word and apply it in their everyday lives, Lord God. And Lord God, I just ask that you would have mercy on your child as I stand before your children, Lord God, to try and present the lesson to you in an effective manner that where everyone can understand. Please look into my heart, Lord God, and cleanse me. Give me the words to say. Speak through me, Lord God, to your children, Lord God. And I just ask that you would just look and have mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning again. You know, sometimes we get up and present the lesson and we try to start it off with a joke. But I'm not going to do that this morning because, as you know, telling jokes can get you slapped. I know it takes some of y'all a little longer than others. But on a serious note, this morning's lesson is no joking matter. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible also says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall have everlasting life. And he sent his Son down here. and his son walked and talked and taught the people, taught the disciples, touching lives of all that he came into contact with, changing their lives forever. And he continues to do that today. And I know everybody in here this morning has been touched by something that Jesus has done for them. We're going to find this morning that God had the perfect plan for salvation of mankind. And nothing or no one is going to stop it. Amen? Now, everything I said this morning is scripture. It's not me. This is God. This is God's word. And as I studied God's word, this word, this lesson, it's something that came, that continuously came to me. And it's something that Pastor harps on all the time. Next slide, please. It says, train up a child. Next slide, please. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And we're going to find throughout this lesson where Jesus' mother and father started them off just as this scripture says. Observing the Passover. Luke says that at 12 years old, Jesus accompanied his mother and father to the Passover festival in Jerusalem. Amen? Now, in order for us to get the full understanding of this lesson, we need to walk right along with Jesus. Amen? Now, our lesson title, Triumphant Entry of the King. Our lesson aim is to list the details of the triumphant entry. So if we're going to list the details, we need to go through some of the things that occurred leading up to his triumphant entry. Amen? And the scripture that we're going to be using this morning, it comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Amen? 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. Key verse says, say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Next slide. That's it. Sorry. The Gospel of Matthew is a testimony. And it's a testimony that connects Jesus with his royal heritage by tracing his ancestry back to King David. Amen? Just as the prophets said. That's Matthew 1:1 through 17. Now, the book of Matthew, it's not about Matthew. It's about Jesus himself. Most times when we read books, the beginning starts with something about the author. But we don't find out anything about Matthew. He doesn't tell us anything about himself until chapter 9. So this is about Jesus and all that he did leading up to his triumphant entry. Now, don't let these, I know a lot of you study your words. You study the lesson. Don't let the word, a word play come into effect here. The Bible says triumphal, but the lesson says triumphant. Same thing. Amen? So there's no difference there. Okay? Next slide, please. Now, we start in chapter 1. With the conception and the birth of Jesus. Now, we know there's a whole lot of people that have some issues with Jesus. Okay? So the very first chapter deals with his ancestry and his lineage. Okay? Then comes up the birth of Jesus. The virgin birth. Okay? And what this chapter does is it clarifies some things. We know that Joseph was planning on divorcing Mary because he knew that he had not slept with her and fathered that child. So we know how people are. So folks wanted to discredit Jesus by any means necessary. So Matthew clears one thing up. Don't worry about it. He clears up the question that would come up. Who's the baby daddy? So that clears all of that up. So it traces the lineage of Jesus back to King David. Amen? Now, as I said, Satan will attempt to discredit and put a block on what Jesus, God's plan for salvation is. Okay? So look at what Joseph was about to do. He was about to divorce her. But that wasn't God's plan. God sent an angel and told him, said, no, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. And he did just as Jesus told him. And he took Mary and had her as his wife. Amen? Now, next slide. There we go. Now, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Now here comes the Magi, the wise men, looking for the baby Jesus. So when they found the baby, the Bible says that they gave him gifts which were fit for a king. Oh boy. When King Herod heard about this, the Bible tells us that he became irate. And not only Herod, the Bible says that Herod and all of Jerusalem was irate and upset about this newborn baby being observed as a king. As far as Herod was concerned, there's not going to be but one king in this area. That's me. So, what did he do? Now listen at this. The Bible says that Herod and all of Jerusalem, that meant everybody and their mama, was mad at Jesus. He hadn't had time to wet his first diaper. And now Herod is out to kill him. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. A baby. So Herod sent soldiers out to look for the child. So what does he do? He has all the children, the males, 2 years and younger, all of them killed. But the Lord, look at God. The Lord instructed Joseph, take the child. Go to Egypt. Herod is trying to kill the child. And they just that. Obedience. God knows best. So that's the story of the Magi and Herod. That's chapter 2. Now, like I said, Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. Now, let me point something out. All four Gospels give an account of the triumphal entry, okay? So, the triumphal entry, all four Gospels give the account, okay? The only difference is Joseph, the Gospel of John. It's a little bit different. It gives the account, but there's a couple of details that are different. Okay, and we'll get into that. Okay? So, I'm sorry, y'all bear with me a minute. Now, chapter 3, John the Baptist. John the Baptist began to baptize in the wilderness. Many people were going there to get baptized by John. The Pharisees, the leaders of the law, they didn't like that. They became upset and irate. Now watch Jesus. Jesus is still humble. Now this is a Jesus cousin, okay? So John the Baptist had Jesus baptized. Jesus came to John the Baptist in the wilderness and was baptized by John in accordance with all righteousness. So still, Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. Amen? He's still innocent. Eventually, John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus still did not lose his temper. He didn't lose his composure. He remained humble. Now, you know, these days, if someone is killed or murdered, there's normally going to be some retaliation. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus remained humble. Amen? Just as we should do. Now, chapter 4, next slide, please. In chapter 4, we find that Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Okay? And following this temptation, Jesus went and immediately started his ministry. Preaching, teaching, touching the lives of others, healing all kinds of sickness. And many multitudes of people came from far and wide to come and experience Jesus. That's what he done. He went far and wide. Chapter 4 also covers Jesus calling his first disciples. Okay? And as I said, the ministry of Jesus began in Galilee. All right? Now, as we walk with Jesus, we find him giving the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? So being careful not to do anything wrong to make him eligible to be arrested, Jesus took care of business. He took care of his business. Now, the book of Luke gives an account that Jesus accompanied his mom and dad to Jerusalem. And on the way back home, they found Jesus came up missing. One of the first Amber Alerts. So Jesus is missing. So Mary and Joseph turns around, leaves the caravan, and goes back to Jerusalem searching for Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they found him in the temple, sitting with the elders, preaching and discussing scripture and talking with them. So when the mother and father found him, they asked, "What are you doing?" And Jesus asked, "Father, don't you know that I'd be about my father's business?" And that's exactly what Jesus did from that point forward. Wherever he went, whatever he did, it was about his father's business. And that's the way we should be. We should be about our father's business, making disciples, setting the example. Amen. Now, next slide, please. The Sermon on the Mount, the one, I'm not going to go into detail, but the key verse, 5 and 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He didn't want to get himself in trouble again. Right there. So he wasn't going to say, well, I came to do away with the law. That's not what it was about. Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. But the Pharisees, as I said, looking for a reason to have him arrested, put in jail. But that didn't happen. Now, we move on to next slide. In chapter 16, as Jesus sat and talked with his disciples and taught them, he foretold of his death. They didn't understand it. They didn't want to accept it. As a matter of fact, Jesus had to rebuke a couple of them because they didn't want him to go. But Jesus told of the things that were going to happen at the hands of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high-ranking religious officials. He foretold that. Amen? So, one thing Jesus did, he honored everything that his Father set out for him to do. The Bible tells us that the Passover was to be kept holy. It was to be observed annually. Not going to go into detail, that's next week's lesson. And they did just that. So this brings us to this morning's lesson. As Jesus walks, we know one thing in particular, that he's on the way to the cross. Amen. So as they didn't understand, but he tried to tell them. He taught them in parables. They didn't understand. But he was on the way to the cross, and he knew that. Amen. So that brings us to today's lesson. Questions, comments? As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her coat by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Now you notice that they stopped in Bethpage. It is written that they did not want to travel all the way into Jerusalem because of traveling on the Sabbath. So keeping everything in order. Jesus obeyed all the rules, all the laws. Now, the difference in the book of John, the Gospel of John, does not mention the two disciples. It mentions the donkey, but not the two disciples. The Gospel of John says that Jesus found a donkey, but the substance is still the same. Amen? Concept one. The Lord will not always provide details of his commands to us, but if we follow them as he directs us to, things will work out just as he says. So in some of the commentaries, some say that the donkey's being tied there may have been prearranged. Some say that it could have been divine. But either way it goes, the donkeys were there. the disciples did just as Jesus told them to do. They didn't deviate. They didn't go down to the festival to see if the barbecue pit was cranked up already. They went and got the donkeys and brought them back to Jesus just as he said. Amen? Verses 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, you know, sometimes people can get things twisted. Now, the prophets wrote this. That came from the prophet Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9. Okay? Now, the reason I said that, we can confuse some things. This is not the first triumphal entry. It's the first triumphal entry for Jesus, but there was another triumphal entry with some of the same characteristics. If you go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1, when David was old and on his deathbed, his son Adonijah plotted to take the kingship. But David had made an oath with his son Solomon to make him king. Okay? So Adonijah put together a clan, a group, and sure thing, he tried to take the seat of the king. But when Solomon heard about this, listen to this. When Solomon heard about this, what he did was he sent for his royal donkey and gave it to Solomon. And Solomon was anointed by Zadok the priest as king. And a whole multitude of people, thousands of people, surrounded him, was praising him and singing praises to Solomon as king. And they made their way into Jerusalem, where Adonijah was having a celebration party because he had taken over the kingship. And the Bible says that as the crowds roared and praised him and sang, and the music was playing and everything, that the earth shook. So when Adonijah heard about all of this, and his people heard this, they became afraid and they abandoned him. But Solomon, in the line of David, rode in on a mule, not a donkey, the mule. Kind of easy to get that thing twisted. But Solomon was not the Messiah. That's Jesus. Concept two, God's plan has already been determined. This is something we should always keep in mind. So when we think that God is not working in our lives, when we think that we'll never get to where we want to be or achieve what we want to achieve or what's for us, God is still working. And his plan has already been determined. God knew from the beginning. And he knows till the end. So he used the prophets in the Old Testament to speak the future to the people. But some folks didn't want to understand, want to accept that. So when we speak with God, when we meditate and we spend time with God, and he gives us instructions, and we can know what his, we may not never know what his plan is, but it's for us to accept it whatever he gives us. If you don't get what you want, we don't want to be upset with God. He may give you some of the things you want, but he's going to give you everything that you need. But it's all in accordance with his plan for salvation. His plan for your life. His plan for your life. And it's already set in place. But one thing we don't ever want to do is jump ahead of God. Because pretty soon you get put back in your place. So just have faith, confidence, be patient, that his plan is already done, and it's for our own good. And I just thank God that he sent Jesus to take my place. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Concept 3, if we would just do what God commands us to do, everything will work out just fine. So how do we know what God wants us to do? Got to spend time with him. And we can hear his voice. We can hear him speaking. Because we all know what conviction is all about. Conviction of the Holy, by the Holy Spirit. And we are convicted whenever we are disobedient. So you know when you're not going down the right path. We all know that. We all have that kind of wisdom, that godly wisdom. Amen? Comments? Questions? Verses 7 through 9. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now as the crowds cut down the palm branches and spread them on the road, put their cloaks down. In today's time, that Sunday came to be known as Palm Sunday. Writers tell us that the people went through extremes to go up and climb the palm trees, to get the fronds, the very tips of the tops of the trees, the very best, to lay down, to pave the path for Jesus to ride in on his donkey. Amen? So that's Palm Sunday. Concept 4, for a moment, Jesus was acknowledged as king. And as they shouted Hosanna to the highest and acknowledged him as king. Now, Jesus didn't publicly acknowledge that he was the Messiah. Now, during that chapter 16, he told his disciples, he asked the disciples, "Who is it that people say that I am?" Some of them said the prophet. Some of them said John the Baptist. So he asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responded, Lord and Messiah. And he instructed them to not tell anyone that he admitted to being the Messiah. But still, the disciples did not know exactly what was coming up. Amen? Verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, concept 5, it is very possible for us to see some things, but yet not understand what it is really before us. So, that's just like judging people. We can't judge anyone because we don't know their heart. God knows them. But folks didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know that he was the coming Messiah, the promised Messiah. Amen? And Jesus maintained his humility. Now, all of that said, here's what comes. The triumphal entry. So as Jesus walked the face of the earth from his childhood up until his triumphal entry, he maintained humility. He maintained all righteousness. He did nothing wrong. Healed, touched, and changed the lives of all. Now watch this. From a spiritual standpoint, we still have many people in this world today that's lost. They don't know Jesus. They have no clue what Jesus did for us. And we as disciples are called to carry on while Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's our responsibility to walk as Jesus walked, making new disciples. It's our responsibility to help those who are lost that do not know Jesus, to help them and put them in a position to where Jesus can make a triumphal entry into their lives. Just like he did for us. And that's our responsibility here, to go and make new disciples. So the triumphal entry, it's ongoing. Jesus wants people to come to him. And we should help put people in position to do that. Can y'all remember when Jesus came into your lives? Because you know, people sitting here, he's touched the lives of so many. He's done so many things. He's healed some sickness. You didn't do it yourself. He brought you out of some hard times and you didn't do it all on your own. And when you accepted Jesus and you put your dependence in, your trust and your faith in him, and you allow him to come into your life, God is pleased. So our job is not finished. The triumphal entry is just the beginning. It's an ongoing thing. But as I said, this is just the triumphal entry. And Jesus was innocent. But what they did to Jesus, it's heartbreaking. Because he did nothing wrong. But it was all in God's plan. His perfect plan. So we just stay the course. Continue to walk with Jesus. And continue to study his word and get closer to him. And do those things that he calls us to do. Amen? Amen. Questions or comments?